Welcome to B'nai Shuren Sema Learning Program. Zei Shebe'el Weber, In Search of a Philosophy of Halacha, Machlokas, Positive Value, and Necessary Evil. Eli will be giving Shurim to the third week in August. The Sema Learning Program is sponsored for Refuah Shlema, for Chaim Yisachar, and Chaim Mushkat, and all Chol Yisrael. They should have a speedy Refuah Shlema.
Okay, there are sheets on either side. Thanks for coming. Also tonight's shiur, today was the yard set, the first yard set of Rav Yehuda and Rav Yekutiel Zvi Yekutiel Zev Amital. A lot of the ideas tonight are actually taken from Rav Amital, so this should also be as close for his neshama. Okay, we've been dealing each week with a separate topic that sort of relates or teaches us something about our approach to halacha. Tonight I want to talk about what I think is perhaps the defining characteristic of the halachic system, and that is the concept of machlokes. I don't know all the world's legal systems, but I don't think there's another legal system out there that values and cherishes the idea of dispute as much as we do. You know, it's not just jokes, you know, two Jews, three opinions. It's, you know, saying that something is a machlokes is almost an answer. I know some people don't like that answer, but it's almost an answer. What's the din? That's a machlokes orishonim. We're not embarrassed to do that. It's prevalent, it's pervasive, it sort of defines who we are. So I thought we would start tonight with the basic question of machlokes, good or bad. Meaning, is it that, okay, because we have a Tarsha Baal Peh, and because we have thousands of years of development of our legal system, there's no choice? Or, no, there's actually a value, and there's something beautiful about it, and there's something that we love about Machlokas, and it's not a necessary evil, but it's a way to get to the truth, or it reveals the truth. Okay, so let's start, not in the proper order chronologically, but let's start with the Rambam, because the Rambam had a definite dislike for halacha, and he says it clearly, and I think you could see here what would bother someone about the idea of machlokes. Okay, this is the Rambam in what's wrong? As opposed to? Yeah, no, he spent a lot of time, he wrote a book about halacha, no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Thank you. Okay, look in that Gemara of the Rambam in the Perash HaMishnah, it's in number one. He says, there's a very famous Gemara which I could have quoted separately. The Gemara says, "Misharabu Talmidei Shammai veHillel." When it became a lot of Talmidim for Shammai and Hillel, Shaloshim Shu Kol Tzorchon. It's hard to translate that. They didn't prepare properly. They didn't do enough work. They weren't smart enough. Rav Sam Machlokes BeYisrael. That's when Machlokes multiplied in Yisrael. That's what the Gemara says, which sounds like a pretty negative thing, like, right? If everybody was smart enough, there wouldn't be machlokas. Let's see what the Rambam does with the second line. Inyan dovar ze borum o. The Rambam says it's very clear what this means. Ki shnei anashim shehem shavim b'havana u'b'iyun u'b'idiyas haklalim shelomdim mehem. Two people of equal intellect who are each equally prepared and each understand how to work with the halachic system. Here I think the Rambam is referring to the Yud Gimel Midos Shatoni Gershban. They know the rules, right? It's like a math formula, says the Rambam in the third line. Lo tihiya beinehem machlokes b'mashalom din ba'achas hamidos b'shum panim. There's a system, says the Rambam, and if two smart people who know how to learn and are using the system properly apply it to darsh in the Torah, they won't have a machlokes, because the system will yield the right result. You'll use your Pythagorean's theory, and there's only one answer. The Rambam says, if you know how to use the system, you'll come up with the answer. After the Dadi's in the fourth line, Lefi shedarke limudam b'chol masha hayulomdim oso ba'achas hamidos hayukrovim zelazeh. Because if you're applying the Yud Gimel Midos, you'll come to similar results. In the part I skipped, the Rambam says, you know, it could be rarely there would be some disagreement, but for the most part, you'll get the right answer. V'gam ha'klalim ha'nechonim shehayu eitzel zeh ha'yu eitzel ha'sheni. Because they're not arguing about the principles. Everybody's applying the same principles, so they'll get the same answers. V'ka'asher nisma'et limud talmideihem. But when the talmidim learnt less, v'nech l'shu etzlam da'achei hadin b'hashva l'shamay v'hilol rabosehem. And they paled in comparison with their rabbein, namely Shammai and Hillel. Naflo machlokes beinayim, yishas hamasa umatan b'har beinyanim. All of a sudden, there were tons of machlokesim. Why? Because they weren't smart enough. Lufi shekal echad mehen don lufi koach sichlo, ulufi haklalim hayiduim lo. He said, because each person used the rules as they understood it. And now the Rambam actually defends them by saying, "Ve'ein lahashimam b'kach." You can't criticize them for this. Ki lo nuchal anachnu lahachriach shnei bnei adam ha-misvachim, because we can't force two people who are arguing. She yisvachu lefi ramat sichlam shel Yoshua u'Pinchas. We can't tell them, "Hey, you have to be smarter. You're not arguing smartly enough." Okay, they're not the people who came before them. They're not as smart. Va'al ofan zeh nafla machlokes. The Rambam says, this is how machlokes grew. Lo sheta'u b'kabalasam v'kabalasa achas emes v'hasheni b'teila. The Rambam says, it's not that they lost the Kabbalah and they remember differently. It's that in the development of halacha, they weren't smart enough to apply the agreed upon rules. Okay? Clear? So what's the Rambam's view? Machlokes is a bad thing. Right? If we were smart enough, we wouldn't have so many machloksim, because the rules are clear and the principles that have to be applied to halacha are clear. And the Rambam really believes that if two people were smart enough, they would get the same result. Yeah.
So Hillel and Shammai, according to the Rambam, never argued with each other.
No. So I don't want to get into that. The Rambam has a whole discussion about where machlokes came from. Even the Rambam has to agree also. But when the Gemara says, Misha Rabu Tamida Hillel v'Shammai, machlokesim multiply, they knew that Shammai and Hillel, the elder, also argued. But that's when things became, presumably machlok... I love that. Presumably, machlokesim were rarer. Right? The Gemara doesn't say there was no machlokes, and now there's machlokes. The Gemara seems to say there were some machlokes, now there's a lot of machlokes. Yeah. We're going to get to that. Yeah, the way I'm doing, I just want to make the point that the Rambam stands for the fact that machlokas is a bad thing. And you could say, you don't have to say, but you could say that that's what drove the Rambam to write the Yad HaChazaka. Right? The big criticism of the Yad HaChazaka was, where are the other shitos? You're just telling me the law. Well, the Rambam believed that there was a right answer to the question, and the proper book to write gives you the right answer.
Yes. You can't do it. I mean, it's not that thing. It's just that.
No, so I think the Rambam is saying, in a perfect world, there wouldn't be this much machlokas. I'm sure of this. Ein lahashimam b'kach means I can't criticize people that are doing their best. But their best isn't good enough. Their best isn't what Yoshua and Pinchas once were.
It's not bad.
Okay. There are other sources in the Rambam. The Rambam was not a big fan of machlokas. Frankly, we're so committed to machlokas, we don't step back and say, hey, wouldn't it be easier? Right? Doesn't machlokas seem to undermine the divine truth? If there's a machlokas about it, well, somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Somebody's gotten it fundamentally wrong. Does God have a shape? These things happen to be subject to machlokas. Yeah.
So the Rambam doesn't allow for watershed areas, things that are in between.
No, so again, this is just, I'm cheating and I'm simplifying because I'm trying to make a point. Yes, the Rambam is a much longer discussion, and the Rambam recognizes there are errors of halacha that the Rambam doesn't paskin whether you can use a Shabbos clock or not. Okay, it didn't come up. Obviously the Rambam knows that there are new cases that facts become new in every generation and they need to be addressed in halacha, but he's talking about fundamental limudim from sukkim of pre-existing conditions that should have been, or that ought to be agreed to. Okay, I just wanted to bring the Rambam as a source for machlokes being a necessary evil and not of great value. Now, you could contrast the Rambam with any number of sources. The Ramban, the Ramban wrote a sefer called the Milchamos Hashem, in which he defends the Rif against attacks of the Baal Hamor. And the Ramban apologizes in his introduction, it's the beginning of Brachos, and he says, listen, I'm going to bring you proofs to support the Rif and against the Baal Hamor. But his quote is, Ein Hochochos Buros, meaning, you might disagree with my proofs. He says, but that's what learning is. It's not clear who's right and who's wrong. I'll bring you support. Hopefully I'll prove my point, but nothing is definitive, and things can be pushed. And the Ramban is much more, not just sensitive to, the Ramban understands that part of learning is doubt, and that things are not as clear as the Rambam presents them as being. Another just example of this, the Aruch HaShulchan also in his Akdama has a phrase where he says, Machlokes is Tiferet Torateinu, the beauty of our Torah. You see, he compares it to like a choir, where he says, you got, what are they called? The deep-voiced people, and the sopranos, and tenors, and all the voices together make for a beautiful choir. And he presents halacha as being many, many different voices that all together make up the halacha. We'll look at that more closely in a minute. But those are just practical approaches. There's a real source, which I really should have started with, but it's more exciting to do it this way. And that's the Mishnah in Avos, number 2 on the sheet. Again, because it's a Mishnah, it's like a super source. And the Mishnah says, Kol machlokes shehi l'shem shamayim sofa l'hiskayim. To translate literally, any machlokes which is for the sake of heaven will last. V'she'eino l'shem shamayim ein sofa l'hiskayim. But if it's not for the sake of heaven, it won't last. Now, that anybody who reads that honestly should be troubled by it. What's the value in a machlokes lasting? Right, I thought the value was in settling machlokes. Right, there seems to be something beautiful here about a machlokes in Shemayim. It's so beautiful that it will last forever. Which again, I think is counterintuitive. I don't want a machlokes to last forever. I want to know that the halacha is like Hillel. I want to know that the halacha is like Shammai. Okay? And then the Mishnah just goes on. Ezehi machlokes shi l'shem shamayim. So what is such a machlokes shem shamayim? Zo machlokes Hillel v'shamayim. Okay, that's Hillel and Shammai. V'she'en l'shem shamayim zo machlokes koach l'chol adoso. There's a lot to say on this Mishnah. Koach l'chol adoso. Why not koach and Moshe? But however you're going to come out of this, the Mishnah seems to think, or it seems to present machlokes as a great thing, so great that a machlokes l'shem shamayim sofa l'hiskayim. Which again, without getting too much into the Mishnah, the way it's presented in the Mishnah, it's a really great thing that it will be miskayim, even though I think for most of us it's not a great thing. Yeah. So yes, there is a pshat. Yeah, there is a pshat in the Mishnah that says sofa l'hiskayim means that right it will be resolved. But that's clearly not the simple shot in the Mishnah. Benchus? Well, now you get into what does it mean, Iskayen. It was the Machlokas was resolved, right, in favor of the Rabbim, but the Shitas Yachid exists. That gets into what it means, Sofa Iskayen. I don't think it means will remain unresolved. It has to be that it's resolved. But the question is what the other shita, why the other shita remains on the books. Right? Standing behind all this is each time we resolve a machlokes, or the Gemara says the Hilchos or Kemar, right? So one of the Gemara was edited, one of the Gemara just go back and erase the whole machlokes. Now that we reached the result, the halacha like this, skip the 5 block and just tell me, Yesh Shalom Idaz, Havi Yesh, Shalom Havi Yesh, Paskin, and forget the whole thing.
No, but that tells you, that may tell you just once you get to the end, tell you that the shita that we proved true, look at how it does all the questions in the middle so you can learn about the shita that we proved true, but that's why you need it. You don't really need it for the other shita. The other shita is just there as a foil.
Okay, but you need some shot in sofa l'hiskayim, right? Yeah. And to say that it's just as a foil, it doesn't seem right to me. Okay, but now, yeah.
But when you look, you look at Moshe Rabbeinu, so after the original, how Kosh Baruch was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, everything clarity,
yeah,
to be no machlokes.
Right.
So it's not the optimum. It's sort of like...
It's not clear. It's not. Let it be for a second. Let's go to the next source, just to help put this into perspective. Right, Shammai and Hillel are not just mentioned in the Mishnah as the machlokas par excellence, or whatever term you want to use for that, but they're one of the earliest. You know, if you want to pull out a machlokas, firm machlokas that's systematic, maybe both. You know, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, right? Rav Zevin wrote a piece about each one's approach, and you could see it in 50 different machlokim. Look at the Mishnah in Yevamos, in number 3. This is, just so we don't have to get into it, this is major machlokim, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, with respect to Chalitza and Yibum. The details don't matter. But the result is that according to one, the marriage, according to Beis Shammai, the marriage of Beis Hillel allowed the children of Mamzerim. Right, so that's as significant a machlokas as can ever be, because it's not just, you know, the ramifications are never ending. Mamzerus is kind of the worst thing ever. So the Mishnah is Veishama Matir Natsaros La'achimu Veisola Osrim. Okay, fine. Go to the third line. End of the second line. Says the Mishnah. So Mishnah is staggering. Afal pi she'elu Osrim. Ve'elu matirin, even though one asked and one was matir, elu poskli ve'elu machshirin, one passed, one said it was kosher. Lo nimnu beishamai mi lisa nashim mi beishilel, ve'lo beishilel mi beishamai. They married each other. Just to point out the obvious, it's like saying that the Naturi Karta and like religious Zionists, okay, they have a machlokes about the value of the state of Israel, but other than that, they marry each other all, it's just a machlokes, you know. So it's so removed from us that you could have a fundamental machlokes that doesn't split the community sociologically, it's almost inconceivable. But the Mishnah says that that's how it worked. The machlokesim of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were not personal. Right? And this is a machlokes about Mamzerus. There were tons of other machlokesim. But if you think for a second, it's so foreign from us that you could have a fundamental disagreement with somebody on a significant point of halacha and have your children marry each other. Well, because the other guy's not frum. So obviously, I'm not talking about you. Obviously, I couldn't let my daughter marry. The Mishnah said, yeah. So the idea that a significant machlokas would not yield, I don't know, enmity would not yield anything other than the intellectual and the halachah is a staggering thing. And I think here you get some of the sense for why, what it means that the machlokas, Shammai and Hillel, was the Shem Shemaim and Sofa L'Hiskayim, you know, on an intellectual plane, but never in a sense that it split the community. Josh? No, so they didn't marry those. I mean, the Gemara explains, what does it mean they married each other? Beis Shammai trusted Beis Hillel to say, listen, sorry, you know, your son met her at camp, but she's a mamzer for you, so they can't get married. They told him the truth. So it's like, you know, somebody who, if you invite somebody over to your house, and you have different standards of halacha, okay, so you want to be nice, you tell the guy, listen, don't eat the potato kugel, because for you it's not kosher. So, okay, even that's amazing that you would say that. The Gemara is very clear. That's what they did. They continued to disagree on the halacha, but they didn't let it interfere because all these things are marginal. I mean, there were not that many cases of this, if there ever was one, in fact. But you could either decide to make this a wedge issue, or you could decide to minimize it. They decided to minimize it.
I was going to ask the same question because I learned this tomorrow. That conclusion,
because
there's a family channel that have okay, they have the hill, and it never brings to the case that's what we talked about. That we talk about there in the girl, so, and that must be where it's all. Okay. In a certain way, because even for example, with Rosh Chodesh and
so you're going to say the power of Bezdin. First of all, it's Bezdin; it's not you and me. Well, that's the first thing.
These were people who were basically...
And the second thing is that that's a unique halacha. Meaning the fact that Bezdin, what Isaac is referring to is that Bezdin is allowed to change Rosh Chodesh even if they know the fact is otherwise. But the din is, Bezdin afilu shogin, Bezdin afilu anusin, Bezdin afilu mezidin. Meaning, the Torah gave, Achodesh Zalachem, gave complete control over the character calendar to us. That's not true in other areas of halacha. You can't say, this cow was shechted in the wrong way. But we Chazal are going to be matir it, because we decided to change the rules of Hilchos Shechita. They don't have that kind of power. They have that power with respect to Rosh Chodesh and the calendar, not with respect to other things.
So then how could it be that we have a rule that you also have to listen to Rabbanim?
So
you can't have it both.
That's a good question, and it's a hard question to answer, but what I'm saying is true. Meaning Chazal can't come and change the fundamental. They can't come and say that tefillin are supposed to be white.
But we're not talking about the fundamentals, man. We're talking about what comes later and how that's interpreted. And I think if we don't have...
Okay, so give me a chance to... Let me come to the main point. And I want to present, this I got from Chaim Navon, where I get most of this stuff from, three approaches, those three that I chose, three approaches to how we view machlokas, what the role of machlokas is, and how it's supposed to play out in halacha. Okay. The first approach I would call, that I would say, machlokas is a methodology for producing the true halacha. Okay, and if you want to work off the source, which I couldn't get inside, but there's a strange halacha that Beis Din HaGadol in Yerushalayim, which is made up of 71 judges, if all of them paskin that a guy should be killed, that he's chayiv, he's not killed. Well, I understand. You know, if the vote is, some do the math, 71, you know, if the vote is three more want to kill him than want to potter him, he gets killed. But it's 71 to nothing, right? So the Medrash Shmuel says, you know why? It's a flaw in the methodology. If no one stands up in support of this person's innocence, it means there wasn't a real debate. The court system didn't work, because you need somebody to argue in defense of the person. Otherwise, you can't be sure that you actually examine the issue properly. It's like if you've been to any board meetings, when the vote is unanimous, generally there wasn't a vigorous debate. When the vote was closer, right, the vote may have been closer, but you can be sure that the people who lost did their best to make their points, and it probably helped people to understand the issues better. Right? You don't really want unanimous votes all the time, because it looks like you just railroaded something through. It's much better. So the concept of machlokes is a system that will help us get at the truth. How? By having somebody stand up and argue against your position. After the Yom Kippur War, I think it's the Agronaut Commission. It's a fascinating thing. One of the things they decided in Israel is that in the intelligence community, there'll be a group that was called Ipcha Mistabra. They'll always take the other position. So why? So that the Prime Minister and the Defense Minister will not just get the conclusion that says, don't worry, you know, Egypt's not going to cross the Suez on Yom Kippur. Right? There'll be somebody else who says, okay, well, the majority position is, don't worry about it. But here's why we should worry about it. And that will give people, it makes a lot of sense. It doesn't make sense that the minority position remains, but in terms of getting at the truth, it makes a lot of sense. One source to support this, number four, it's a great Gemara. Gemara in Bava Metzia says as follows. If anybody knows the story, Rabbi Yochanan was Reish Lakish's brother-in-law. Reish Lakish was a crook, and Rabbi Yochanan promised him his sister, and they were chavrusas, and they loved each other. Nach nafshi de Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Reish Lakish died. Rabbi Yochanan Basrei Tuva, and Rabbi Yochanan was despondent. Omer Rabbanan, man leizel leisiv ledate. Who should we go to send to help Rabbi Yochanan recover? Neizel Rabbi Loza ben Pedas de mechadin shmatze. Rabbi Loza ben Pedas is a genius. He's a genius. He sharpens all the points. He'll learn with Rabbi Yochanan. Ozal Yosef Kameh, so Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat came, sat in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and learned together. Kol milsa to have a Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Omale. Whatever Rabbi Yochanan would say, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat would say, Tanya de Misayalach. I'd have a brisa to support your position. Meaning, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat, genius, he had something to say in everything, and he was very supportive of Rabbi Yochanan's positions. Omar, end of the third line. At Kibar Lakish, you're like Reish Lakish? You don't want to be Rabbi Elazar ben Pedat in this story. Okay? Bar Lakisha, ki hava amina milsa. When I would say something, you know what Reish Lakish would say? Hava machali esrin v'arba kushisa. He would bring 24 questions on my shita. Umefarkina le esrin v'arba pruki. I would have to answer him 24 answers. Umemela rab chashmaita. And from that discussion, the truth would come out. Va'at amris tanya de misayelach, and you give me proofs. Atu lo yadana de shapir kamina, what I didn't know I was telling the truth to begin with. Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't need a yes man to be my chavrusa. I need somebody who agrees with me. I need somebody who disagrees with me. Because out of that disagreement, the truth arrives. Okay? So that's machlokas as a methodology. If you want to make sure that you're reaching the true answer, you have to have a real machlokas. And then, presumably, why does the machlokas remain even after we know what the conclusion is? So that someone later on doesn't come and say, wait, but what about that pasuk in Bamidbar? Wouldn't that prove? Well, now we have the whole record of the discussion, and we know, no. The answer is that pasuk in Bamidbar is talking about something else. And that proves talking about something else. We had a whole discussion, right? We have the minutes of the meeting. It's clear that there were objections, and it's clear that they were overruled. And the answer is the answer, and you only get that way through machlokas. Okay, that's one approach to machlokas. The second approach we'll call the truth is complicated. Okay, now that's good internet. Okay, now it gets a little more exciting. The truth is complicated means, well, let's do a Gemara first. Maybe that will help me tell you what it means. The Gemara number 5, the Gemara in Eirvin Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis says as follows. Omer of Abba Omar Shmuel. Rabbi Abba said the name of Shmuel. Shalosh Shanim Nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. We're back to our favorite disputants. For 3 years, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel fought. Halalu Omrim Halacha Kimoseinu. V'halalu Omrim Halacha Kimoseinu. I assume the discussion was more intelligent than, no, we're right. No, we're right. But that's what the Gemara says. Yatsa Baskol V'omra. A voice came out from heaven and said, Eilu ve'eilu divur Elokim chayim, hein? Each of you is saying the word of the living God. The halacha k'beis Hillel, but the halacha is like Beis Hillel. So first thing, what in the world does that mean? If eilu ve'eilu divur Elokim chayim, if each side was expressing the word of the living God, then what does it mean halacha is like Beis Hillel? If Beis Shammai represented the word of the living God, then how could they be wrong and they still be right? Okay, so on some level, and there's any number of explanations, on some level it has to be that there was truth in the Beis Shammai position. Right? We paskin like Beis Hillel, but Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, there's truth in the Beis Shammai position. Now, what does it mean that there's truth? Isn't it just all or nothing? Right? The halach is like you, the halach is not like you. Apparently it's a little more complicated than that. That it's not black and white, and there are shades of truth in halacha, and ultimately we have to decide one way, so we decide like Beis Hillel, but there's truth on the side of Beis Shammai. Now, let's keep reading that Gemara, because I think it comes back to some of the points we just made. Third line in the middle. V'chimei asks the Gemara our question. V'chimei acha she'elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim mitnei mazochu Beis Hillel l'kvo halacha kimosan. Well, if they're both right, then it sounds like it's almost arbitrary. So what did Beis Hillel do that allowed the halacha to be like them? So says the Gemara, Mipnei shenochin va'aluvin hayu. Because they were relaxed and they allowed themselves to be insulted. Vishonin divrehem v'divrei Beis Shammai. They always quoted not just their position, but the position of Beis Shammai as well. Which I think harkens back to the first idea. I mean, Beis Hillel constantly thought about the shitas of Beis Shammai and the proofs of Beis Shammai. So therefore, that may have led them to a greater truth, but even if it didn't lead them to a greater truth, it made them better people, right? Because they were more accepting of the other position. V'lo od, ela shemakdim in divrei Beis Shammai l'divreihen. Did you ever notice, it's an interesting thing, there's another Gemara that says this, it's always a machlokes, Shammai and Hillel. Shammai always comes first. Because Beis Hillel always put Shammai first. And says the Gemara, that's one of the reasons we possibly like Beis Hillel. Because they put Shammai first, so they knew that other Shita. But again, the point of this Gemara is this idea of Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim, that there is truth on both sides, although we have to pass in like one side. So now the question is, what exactly does the phrase Eilu ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim mean? So there's a famous Rashi in number 6, which actually is not on this Gemara, but everybody knows it's supposed to be on this Gemara. And Rashi is discussing ultimate truth in Halacha. And when somebody's right and when somebody's wrong, and when neither one is right or wrong, but we have to paskin. Says Rashi in number 6, Ki pligi tre amoroi bedin o beisr veheter. When the two amoroim are disagreeing about a din or whether something is kosher or treif, kol chad amar hachi mistaber taima. Each person said, I believe this to be the halacha. Here's my explanation. Says Rashi, Ein kan sheker. Nobody is lying. Nobody's wrong. Okay, now you have a piece of meat, right? One Amora says kosher. One Amora says not kosher. Says Rashi, nobody is wrong when they're paskening based on their own thought process. Why? Second line. Kol chad v'chad svara didei ka'amar. Each one said their own opinion. Mar yohiv taimo lehetera. One person brought a reason to be matir the piece of meat. And one person brought a reason to say that the meat is not kosher. Mar medame milsa lemilsa hachi. One brought a series of precedents. Said this case seems like this other case and this other case. Therefore, I think X. Umar medame la beinyan achrina. And the other person brought other precedents. He thought it was similar to other cases. Ve'ika lemeimar. And in such a case, you can say elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim hem. That each one has a certain amount of truth and reflects the divine halacha. If that's the case, how does it work? Zimnin d'shayach haytaima, v'zimnin d'shayach haytaima. Now, sometimes, okay, we have to pass it in this case. So this piece of meat is kosher, like the sheet of Beis Hillel. But the sheet of Beis Shammai has validity. And maybe in this case we have to paskin like Beis Hillel, but in another case where the facts are slightly different, we'll be able to use the other shita. She'ata mishapech l'fi shinui hadvarim b'shinui muad. Because the halacha can change based on the slightest change in the facts. So says Rashi, what does it mean elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim? There's truth on both sides. In this case, we have to paskin one way. But what does it mean that there's truth in the other side? It could be that in another case, right, we'll have to call on that other shita to reach the appropriate result. In advanced halacha, when you read tshuvos, oftentimes poskim use shitos that are dechuyos, meaning that we don't accept la halacha. But in a situation where I have three or four factors, la hakel, I can put a bunch of things together. So I put a bunch of things together, and therefore I yield, it yields a certain result. Even though each of those things on their own were not the halacha. So take, for example, we pass in a cholesh yesh bo sakana on Yom Kippur. So the person has to eat. So, machilin also pachos mikishir, to the extent you can. Okay? Reb Chaim, for example, thought that was not the halacha. And he thought, a cholesh yesh bo sakana, just feed him. Okay, so nowadays, we don't pass, that Reb Chaim sheet is really not how we paskin. But, oftentimes you'll speak to poskim, and a person who's on the line, is he a cholesh yesh bo sakana, is he not? And maybe I don't know exactly, if I just give him a tiny bit to drink each time, it'll be enough. So you say, you know what? Well, we can then bring in the sheet of Reb Chaim, that to begin with, they should have been able to eat as much as they want anyway. Will be Messiah that shita, which is not the halacha, with a whole bunch of other factors, right? Because even though it wasn't the halacha, The truth is complicated. Halacha is not just black and white. And therefore, I can put a bunch of things together to help me reach a result in a case where I don't have an exact precedent.
Well, why do you keep using the word truth in the sense that there is like...
Well, it's because I think it expresses the thing I want to express.
Right, but that means that somebody is not telling the truth.
Rashi used the word sheker, lie.
Well,
I watered it down to truth.
Because why isn't the truth the determination by the posek?
Because who likes that? Don't you want to believe that the posek paskin what God would have paskin if you could talk to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why
I use the word truth. I want to believe that when I go and I ask a shiloh, that if I could have spoken to God, I would have gotten that answer. But I can't speak to God, so I spoke to Rabbi whoever, and he gave me God's answer. That was the truth. So Rashi says, and the Gemara says, hey, look, it's not so simple. There may not be just one truth. Okay, there could be truth on either side, and depending on the facts, I don't know a better word. If you don't like the idea, that's okay.
Right.
But I think the word is the right word.
And that's the thing you went before.
Correctness.
Truthiness. Okay, that's for the younger crowd.
Did you have the case of the Tanur, you know, and the Tanur,
right.
You know, they didn't listen. I mean, it's his case, you know.
Right.
God did tell you what he thinks God said to Allah, so it wasn't the rabbi.
Well, so I didn't want to get into that, right. I'm using the truth thing, but it's also the case that God gave us, even though I disagreed with you before, that God gave us a certain flexibility to determine the halacha. And halacha, kirabim, even in the face of a baskol, that said, that's not the truth. So, yeah, there is something else going on. Okay. Another example of this. Look at the Gemara number 7, the Gemara in Chagig. We'll do this quickly. This Gemara basically expresses, I think, the frustration that many of us have when we learn. Let's skip the beginning. So the pasuk says, "Divrei Chacham kedarvonos kumas meros netuim ba'alei asufos nitimurei echad." It refers to ba'alei asufos, men of the assembly or people of the assembly learning together. So the Gemara says the second line, "Ba'alei asufos elu talmidei chacham sheyoshim asufos asufos va'oskin b'Torah." These are talmidei chacham who sit in groups and learn Torah. Halalu mitamin v'halalu mitarim, halalu osrim v'halalu matirim, halalu posim v'halalu machshirim. They fight about everything. Shema Yomar Adam. Maybe a person will say, Hayach ani la mei Torah me'ata. How could I possibly learn? Everything is a machlokas. Talmud Lomar, Kulam nitnu me'ro echad, Kel echad nisanan, Parnas echad amran, Mipi adon kol ha'asim baruch hu. So the Gemara says, don't get so disappointed. First of all, the machlokasim, and I'm ad-libbing here for the Gemara, but the machloksim are taking place in a very narrow band. First says the Gemara, kulam nitnu me'ro'e echad. Everybody's arguing about the Torah that Moshe gave. Right? Part of this machlokas isn't Moshe didn't. There's another guy, Bob. He's the Torah. No, everybody's arguing about the Torah that Moshe gave. That's first. Keil echad nisanan. And everybody's arguing about the Torah that Moshe gave from the one God. Parnas echad amran. And one parnas, again, Moshe said it over, Mipi Adon Kol HaMasim Baruch Hu. So, you know, you think that there's such a fundamental... It's not. The Gemara says, it's a machlokes about what God intended. And the Pasuk says, Vayidaber Elokim Eis Kol Dvarim Lo'eleh. So, Af Atah, now says the Gemara, what should you do? Aseh Oz L'cha Ka'afar Keses. Make your ears like... Afar Keses is the top of a millstone where you pour the grain in, so it's like this. So a lot comes in, you know, it catches a lot at the top, and then it slowly feeds it through and grinds it down. So he said, you take all that in. You develop the intelligence and the skills to understand why some are metame and why some are metair. As divrei osrim v'sdivrei matirin, understanding why some aser and some matir. As divrei posrim v'sdivrei machshirin, why some people passel one, why some people machshir. So the Gemara says, I understand it's hard. There's a lot going on. But the way the Gemara sounds is, you can figure it out. You can figure it out. If there's a machlokas, one guy passes, one guy aser, one guy's matir, You can try to understand their reasoning, and you can figure it out. So I actually came here to look it up. The Art School Gemara says on the bottom, but of course it doesn't mean you. You know, it means the Gedolei Hador or whatever. Okay. That's why you have to need Art School, because you might otherwise misunderstand to think that it meant you. So it doesn't mean you. Josh, quick.
Is there a good Gemara that makes the distinction you made between the Gedolei process being divine and the Halacha outcome being divine? If you said in your last answer that the Halacha outcome itself is divine and knowable.
No, I didn't say that. Did I say that?
The question was whether or not it was okay to say that the process itself, the outcome,
yeah,
is what's divine. And you didn't like that. You wanted to say that.
I don't think I think the point is it doesn't have to be the right outcome.
But is there a
yeah, there's a million. There's the story of the Tanush Asnai, we could do next week maybe, where Rabbi Yeshua says, is Rabbi Lozer or Rabbi Yeshua?
Rabbi Lozer is the one who's against.
He's the Yachid.
Yeah.
So the Baskel comes out and says that Rabbi Lozer is right. Yeah. And then Chazal say, too bad.
I'm saying there's more of the opposite of that. There's nothing more than this with the halacha outcome.
Well, I think every other Gemara implies to me that there is a right outcome. That's the assumption, and that this is like a huge chiddush, but that's not true. I don't know how it gets resolved. Let me try to. I got one maral. This maral's grace, number 8. It's on this Gemara of Bali Asufos. Listen to this maral. V'amar Bali Asufos, number 8. Peirush. Ki efshar shiye das hachachamim al derech hachad. Can't be that all chacham will agree. Each person will approach it in his own way and reach his own result. This is the key line. In each thing, each side will have some element of truth. Third line in the middle. This is a staggering idea. Says the Maral. Even if the right outcome is the thing is tameh, e'efshar shelo yihyeh lo tzad b'china el tahara shel ma. There is some element of tahara, even if the ultimate result is tameh. V'chein im adavar tahor, e'efshar shelo yihyeh lo b'china ma shelo tuma. There'll be some element of tuma in it. U'b'nei adam mechulakim b'seichel. And people have different intellects. V'efshar sheyu kol shek. Kol shekol b'nei adam al derech achad, kol seichel b'nei adam al derech achad, k'mo sheyisbar. U'lekach kol echad v'echad mekabel b'china achas k'fi chiluk sichlam. He said, here the Maral saying, there is no ultimate truth. In every situation, there is an element of tuma and an element of tara, whatever that means. An element of kashrus and an element of tarfus, whatever that means. And the Maral says that people see it differently, based on their orientation and their intellect and where they're coming from. So he says, so that's where machlokas comes from. And this is what I mean by this idea of complicated truth. There isn't an absolute, now, it's not for every case. But says Morel, there are cases where there is no right or wrong answer. Okay, so the best we can do is have human beings look at something, and they'll paskin the way their intellect and their orientation, their background pushes them to paskin, even though there was a possibility to pass in the other way. Okay, and so my dream that when you ask a shayla, you get the right answer, the Maral says that doesn't exist, or it doesn't exist in many cases. You know what does exist? A person who knows a lot, who can look at this and analyze it, and reach his right result. And presumably, if he's a shomer Torah mitzvah, and he's doing it l'shem shamayim, and he has the right ideas in mind, then that's the right answer. Okay? That's number 2. Last idea. The last idea behind machlokes is that everybody's right. Okay, it's all relative. Now, I pause here so that you could work up a good anger at me. Because that should be offensive to any firm person. The idea that there is no right or wrong answer and it's all relative is like this whole postmodern idea. I have my truth, you have your truth, there's no ultimate truth. So, generally speaking, that's an offensive idea to frum people, and it should be. But it could be that there are situations where that's not offensive to us, and in fact reflects how we're supposed to live. Here I have, Rav Amital always used to quote this Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, again, religious man, serious person, you know. If he said it, we could go with it. The Vilna Gaon on this pasuk in Mishlei, we'll skip the pasuk for now, says as follows: Ki lechol adam ve'adam yesh lo derech b'fnei atzmo le'lech bo. Each person has his own path. Okay, Vilna Gaon not sounding like the Vilna Gaon we know and love. Ki ein da'atam dome zelazeh, says the Vilna Gaon, if I could paraphrase, not everybody can be the Vilna Gaon. I wonder if he ever said that. If I was the Vilna Gaon, I would have said that all the time. Maybe that's why I'm not. Ve'ein teva shnei bnei adam shavim. No two people have the same nature. U'kishahayu ha'nevi'im. This is unbelievable. He says, in the time of the Nevi'im, so why do people go to the Nevi'im? Why'd you go to a Navi? Either you wanted to know a halacha, although that wasn't really their job, or you lost your cow. That's what usually happens. And I lost my cow. I'm not going to post to the internet. I'll just go to the Navi and ask where my cow is. Okay, since they've only gone, no, they went for something else. To search for Hashem. What does that mean? The person wants individual guidance. Goes to the Navi, he says, this is the kind of guy I am. I'm not a great brain. You know, I have these skills, right? These are the things I like. I like to paint. You know, I like classical music. I don't really like learning Gemara. And the Navi tells him, you should be a social worker. Okay, the Navi tells him, well, that just came out. I know you're so sorry. Okay. Lefi shoresh nishmaso, the Navi knows the person's soul. Ulefi tivaskufo, and the person's nature. The Navi molds a unique, turns out, not everybody is supposed to do the exact same thing. That's why they went to the Navi, to find out what is my path in Avodas Hashem. There was still Ruach HaKodesh. V'ish Rucho hu yodienu eich lehisnaheg v'Ruach HaKodesh yesh l'chol adam v'adam. So when they lost prophecy, they still had divine inspiration, and people went with their divine inspiration. And now, just as to be fair, he says, Aval, imchas v'shalom yesh bil v'avo shoresh katan sheporeh rosh b'la'ana. If he has some kind of wormwood, meaning if someone, if the guy's cheating, then a person can't say, listen, my avodas, I've thought about it long and hard, and my avodas Hashem is, you know, running a hedge fund that works off, you know, child labor. Right? That's cheating, says the Gra. But if you're not cheating, he says that there's an individualized approach to avodas Hashem. So, what does that mean? It means there is no one, coming back to Machlokas, in this area of Avodas Hashem, there is no one right answer. You can't just go and say, a Ben Torah dresses this way, and a Ben Torah goes to Kola. It's not true. Because Rav Amital always used to say, why were there 12 Shvatim? Should he just one shave it? Because they were different. And because they had their own paths in Avodas Hashem, and they had their own characteristics. And what worked for one shevet didn't work for another shevet. And we're squeezing that out of Yadav slowly but surely by believing that every person is supposed to do and act and be exactly the same. And that's not the case. So yes, while there are areas of halacha where there should be a psak, the area of Avodas Hashem is not one of them. The Vilna Gaon says, people have to find their own way in Avodas Hashem. So we find one area at least where in Machlokes, we do have this relativistic approach. And it does depend on who you are, and it does depend on what speaks to you. So now, just to sum up, we have three approaches to Machlokes. One was, it's just a methodology to get to the truth. The second was, the truth is complicated, and it's so nuanced that there is one whole truth, but it changes from case to case, And the only way to do that is via machlokas and via keeping both of the shitos alive, or 10 of the shitos alive. And then the third approach was, there's no right or wrong answer. There's an area in which there isn't one right or wrong answer. The Gemara that we don't have time to read is the Gemara where the Talmidim complained to Rabbi Lazar. One day the chazan was too fast, so he said, oh, he's faster than Moshe Rabbeinu, who said, Kehel and Rafanallah, that was the whole tefillah. One day he was too slow, he said, it was slower than Moshe Rabbeinu, down for 40 days for Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu also had two different approaches to tefillah. One day he was the fastest davener ever. One time he was the slowest davener ever. It depends on circumstances. There isn't one answer to every question. Of these three, it could be that all three explanations of Machlokas are true, and just depends on the circumstance. It could be with respect to Avodas Hashem, there is no true answer. It could be with respect to Emuna issues, that there's more nuance and there's more ability to go in one way or go in another way based on who you are and based on what your natural natios are. I don't know. In Isser Vehetter, maybe there has to be one answer. It could be that in each case, but I guess to sum up, there is a value, if we leave aside the Rambam from the beginning, there is a real value in Halacha, either because it helps us to get at the truth, because there is no truth in certain areas, or there are multiple truths, or because the truth is so complicated that without the multiple competing views, we never would be able to find our own way. And I would say just at the end, and this may sound crazy, but I think within each of us is the ability in some gray areas to, not to deviate from the accepted halacha, but to recognize that there really isn't an accepted halacha. So what's the halacha if you forgot Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh? You have to repeat Shmona Esrei. But, I don't know, sometimes that seems wrong to me. Now, there are competing shitos. So, okay, to have a halachic system, you have to have an answer. So, do you have to make a mezonos on cake if you have it for dessert? So there is an answer. But the answer is not obvious. And it's not clear that if you did one, you didn't do the other. People always want to know, what's the answer? There might not be. So it could be that if on Rosh Chodesh, you don't remember that you said Yalav Yavo, but you think there's a chance. And you worry about Sadek Brachos L'Hakel. And you have this whole Reb Chaim approach that says if you're having Musaf in the morning anyway, so you're being Maskir Rosh Chodesh. So there's what to be Somechan. There may not be one exact halacha. And if you're desperate to say Amen to the Chazan, the Milah Psuki de Zimra, the halacha is not, okay, maybe that's at the end of the world. Maybe each person has some, the halachic system has to have a psak, but each person has some give based on his personality and his natural inclination that allows him to feel that he's an owner of halacha, even if it's just in a marginal issue. All right, that's it for tonight.